Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Vyantara Vavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastu Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Upendra was still bothered by sexual desires. He thought that maybe he should get married, but he was confused about what a Krishna-conscious marriage was supposed to be. How could you be married, he puzzled, if you don't love the girl you want to marry? And how could you love her without having sex with her? He wanted to ask Swamiji about this, but he kept it to himself, waiting for an opportunity and for the courage. Then one day he entered Prabhupada's room as Prabhupada paced back and forth from one end of the room with its three large bay windows overlooking Frederick Street to the other end where his rocking chair sat. Now Upendra decided he could ask his question. Swamiji, he began, may I ask a question? Yes, Srila Prabhupada replied, stopping his pacing. If a boy is separate from a girl, then how can he learn to love her? Prabhupada began to walk back and forth again, chanting on his beads. After a moment, he turned and said softly, love? Love is for Krishna. And he walked towards the window and looked down at the street below. You want a girl? Pick one. He pointed towards some women passing on the street. There is no love in this material world, he said. Love is for Krishna. Gradually, under Srila Prabhupada's pure influence, Upendra began to feel less agitated by sexual demands. He came to understand that he was not a material body, but a spiritual soul, and that the soul's eternal nature was to love Krishna, and that for a pure devotee, for Swamiji, love was for Krishna. Yes, so this principle in the world, this love that people talk about, it's attachment, right? That's what we have as attachment. And so that's the position, means as far as philosophy goes, the position of attachment is the position for love. But as Prabhupada's pointing out, love means actually with Krishna, because you're dealing with prema. Prema is actual love, right? What we have in the material world is this love has turned to lust, right? So the principle of attachment is there, but its manifestation is slightly different, right? Externally, it looks the same. So the activities are the same, the interactions the same, but the actual purposes are different, right? The spiritual world is love because it's simply to please Krishna. On the material world, there's the element we want to please ourselves, right? So we think the relationship's going nice if everything is going the way we want it. And it's not going nice if it's not going the way we want it, right? So that's what Prabhupada's saying. Material world, love, where's the love? So in other words, then because it's trying to get to that position of love for Krishna, then one has to remove the idea of love in this world, right? Isn't it? Let us say your bowl is full of water, right? And then they come along with lemon juice, okay? Now, can you just pour the lemon juice into your bowl that's full of water? Right? You wouldn't be able to do that. You wouldn't be able to aim properly and get the lemon juice in the bowl.
You would, but it would overspill.
You would, but it overspill. Okay, yes. Why would it overflow?
Because it's already full.
It's already full, right? In other words, it can only hold so much. So it can either basically hold love for Krishna, or then there's love in the material world, the so-called love, right? So now the idea is you want to transfer from the material concept of love to the actual reality, the spiritual concept of love, right? Does this make sense? Is this boring to you? No? So you have to hold your head. Feeling okay? Yeah? Okay. So we should stay awake. Right? Head up, not so much over here. You know, so of course you could put it up here and then your head would be a little higher. You know, but if you have you're sitting like this, then it really gets down. Then you know your neck might turn. So you might try it in the middle, then you get a balance. Like that, you know. But then you can't talk to your friends, and then you're going to have to look up too much. Your eyes might hurt. So I guess you could try this, maybe. You know, so, you know, be how you say, intuitive. Innovative, yeah. You know, don't just be just boring one old thing. Try different stuff. You know. Okay. Okay, so then the process is that you're going from the position of the material attachment to spiritual attachment, right? So now this doesn't just happen overnight, it's a matter of practice. So there's something in between that is the practice of developing the spiritual attachment while at the same time one's dealing with one's material attachment. Does this make sense? So in other words, one deals with the relationship, one's relationships in the material world according to the directions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Does that make sense? Otherwise, the material, you just want to deal with it however you like. Or you'll deal according to Shastra, but it's just for, so that materially it will go nicely. Right? Because if you work according to authority, it's always going to be better than if you're whimsical. Right? You know, if you're whimsical, self-centered, then you think see things don't go well. Right? But if you're able to, according to Shastra, cooperate with others, then it goes much better. Right? So then what you're doing is in the middle here, then according to Shastra, for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, so that's what makes it not mundane, you're dealing with the material relationships according to how the Shastra says is the appropriate way to deal. Because basically the underlying principle of dealing with the relationship with Godhead is the principles for any relationship, right? Because everything is in the cause of creation is Krishna. So you're dealing with Krishna. Now it's whether you recognize that or not, right? And how much you're working to please Krishna. Does that make sense? Because you can understand it's Krishna, but still deal with whatever that object is according to your own ideas. Does that make sense? So, you get it? So in other words, there's material attachment, spiritual attachment. In the middle, then we're trying to transfer from one to the other, okay? So that's the progression, okay? Now, as we said, you always have the big cycle, and then you have the small. Within that big cycle, its parts each runs on the same principles, the same cycle, okay? So that means then within this middle stage of transference, then there's going to be the beginning stage of that is going to be more towards the material attachment, right? The middle will be in the middle, and the last will be more towards the spiritual attachment. You understand? So that will always, you know, you'll always have that element. Where's your chudder? It's in your locker. And the brain, you brought the brain. You got it out from underneath the bridge, right? You didn't leave it there, right? It's very hot now. It'll dry out a bit, and it doesn't think as well if it's dried out so much. You want to keep it nice and, nice and soft, not too... I mean, you don't want your head to be soft, only the brain to be soft, right? Your hard head, soft brain. But not too hard that the knowledge doesn't go in, right? So that's why you have ears, because head's hard, right? So the knowledge won't go in. But the ears are there, so it's one spot where it can go in, right? You hear, goes into the brain. Now, if the brain's soft, it can absorb that. If it's all dried out and hard, because you left it under the bridge too long, then it won't go into the brain. You understand? So always be careful about that. See, is dhoti and chadar go together, right? That's you're considered dressed. You have a dhoti and chadar. If you only have a dhoti, or you only have a chadar, then you're not considered dressed. You understand? Like that. So then you have to know in public, in formal situations, then you have to be dressed. Right? When it's just hanging out in the ashram, or you're cleaning the pumps and toilets, or this or that, then you work out what's the best outfit. Okay? But in this kind of situation, then you always want your chadar. Yeah? Okay? Everybody understand that? Right? And even more refined in the dress is then there's a chadar around the waist. Right? On the dhoti. Because then the dhoti is considered dressed. You understand? So you have dhoti and chadar, right? So now the dhoti is, its more components is then you have the waist piece, right? Does that make sense? So as you get older, then you have brahmachari. Very good. Very good. So you're planning to take sannyas in the future or stuff like that? Yeah? Yeah. Okay, very good. Very good.
In the future, but not now.
In the future, not now. Okay, so you leave it today. Saturday's a codicil, you might consider that's a good day, like that. But like that. Okay, you understand? So it's something that one moves up through. But the basic principle is dhoti chadar, then it's dressed. Yes? You have a question? No question. Okay, so then in that middle stage, right, then the beginning means you're dealing with your material desires because you want to deal with your material desires. That's the whole point. But you're doing it according to Shastra. Right? Hey, can we calm down? Right, what's happening? What's over there? You don't know. So then why are you pointing your face that way and talking? There must be something over there. Which boy you have to ask permission? Any big boy. How do you define big? Because you have to go small, so how do you define big? You don't know. Okay, so go. You're supposed to do all this before class. Okay, so that's what we're saying. Then, so the beginning stage will be your material desires because you want to deal with them. But it's according to Shastra, and you're trying to see everything in connection to Krishna. Then, so that will be in the beginning, more about the material desire. Then sometimes you're remembering it's about Krishna and connecting it, and then not, and then connecting it and not. So with time, that'll become steady, where it's basically steadily connected properly and all that, right? It won't have that material excitement to it. But it will be peaceful and, pleasant and nice. Then it will start to go into where once the Krishna conscious element starts to become the prominent, right? Then it becomes more exciting because of the devotional side, right? Then that inspiration takes you very quickly there. Does that make sense? The other one, because we're experiencing, why are you smiling? I see. And so that's why you prefer to sit at the back. Why don't you do until you come up to the front, then you won't get any. You know what I'm saying? Next time you sit a little farther forward. Then. Okay. You know, the breeze is blowing this way. That means from this whole spot here, it's all going to that corner. So think about that tomorrow. Okay, so we were saying. Okay, anybody have to brush their teeth or something? You know, kind of covered everything else. Okay, so you understand? So that's the process. So it's not a matter, some will complain, well, if you see it philosophically, then how can you have a proper relationship? No, it's because you see it philosophically, you can actually have a proper relationship. Because it's thought, well, no, it's just that attraction, that attachment. But the point is how will you express that? So Krishna is the cause of attachment. He is the cause of relationships. Sure? I didn't think of that one, coughing. We have sneezing also. So this, the element of a relationship, of attraction, of attachment, that's all coming from Krishna. So why would one think that will best be tasted and appreciated if it has nothing to do with Krishna? You know what I'm saying? If you have a machine, it was created by someone, and they say you should use the machine in this way. But you completely ignore that and just whatever you feel like, you deal with the machine however you like, right? Yeah, let's say we have a toaster, right? Okay, now there's a problem as, you know, one of the screws is falling out on the lids of one of the pots. So you pick up the toaster and then try to screw the screw back in. Will it work? No, that's not how you use a toaster. You know what I'm saying? Like that, or, you know, your back itches, so you get the plug and, you know, kind of put the plug there and kind of put it down so it scratches your back a bit, you know? Yeah, you understand? Like that. You know, so different things, or you have so many papers that you have to keep, so you fold them up nicely and stick them inside the toaster, you know? It's nice filing system. You push the thing down, right? And then it'll hold the papers down. When you need, then you push it up, and they pop up, and then you have all your papers you go through. When you finish, pull the one you want, you push the lever down again, they go back inside, nice and clean, right? You understand? So you can do it, but is this what it's meant for? Will you actually get the experience what a toaster can do? That's the point. So unless it's according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, because Krishna's made everything, all relationships, any situation, one won't actually get the taste of what that actual relationship is. And nowadays, most people don't even know what relationships are, don't know what that taste is. That's why they have a great problem working with others, living with others. Does that make sense? They're unable to appreciate that. You know, they can't define relationships. They don't know what is what. Does that make sense? So because of that, then they suffer. And in their suffering, they will think it's everybody else. Right? They'll think it's everybody else. They're fine, I'm fine, because I have my desires and needs. I'm dealing with everything according to how I feel it should be dealt with. But no one else is responding the way they should. You know, and the way they should is how I define it, not actually what it is. Does that make sense? You're going to stay awake? Yeah? Okay. Does it make sense? Right? So that means then, if that is understood and one goes in with knowledge into relationships, then one actually, the relationship, what can be gained from it is tasted. Now it's just a matter of the progression between the beginning stage, you know, within the process. So we're taking the process as the middle section, right? Between the material and spiritual, right? So within that process, then it's starting off with the more material, and we're slowly, slowly, by practicing, bringing it to the spiritual. The form of the relationship will look the same. The activities will be the same. The interaction, the words spoken, that will all be the same. The difference is how you're seeing it connected to Krishna or not. Does that make sense? But whether there's so much material attachment or not, you follow the same thing. Does this make sense? Very, very important. You understand this, you're way ahead of basically everyone on the planet. You know? No joke. When I travel around the world, it's rare to find people actually know what a relationship is. Right? It's becoming rare. People don't hear about it because people are turning away from, you know, religion and this and that. They're getting to their own speculative ideas. The more they speculate, the less they know what to do with whatever they're dealing with. Does that make sense? Right? In other words, it come to the point where people don't even know that the toaster makes toast anymore. Some think it's a paperweight, some think it's a filing cabinet, you know, some think it's a back scratcher. You know, something is just a nice shiny conversation piece that you put on, you know, put on your coffee table, you know, like that. You understand? They don't know it actually makes toast. And believe me, I'm not joking. It's sad. I mean, extremely sad. Because people are working so hard to be materially happy in relationships, and they have no idea what a relationship is or how to be happy. Right? So one has to follow authority. Now, we see is where is he getting this? Why does this work? Because he has faith in authority. Right? So this principle in the Vedic culture of respect, right? That's based on the element that, one, you're respecting another living entity in their position. But then as that goes, the respect is it gets more, then it means because there's something higher. You have guru, right? And ultimately, Krishna is the Adi Guru, right? So we must understand is that in relationships, in the life, then the most prominent, right, means as far as respect goes, you know, like this. As far as authority, there's going to be mother, father, and teacher, right? Now, in this, they're the same, but different, right? Means the father principle is more the protection element, you know, creating the environment like that, setting standards, all these kind of things like that, right? And creating an identity. Don't look with one eye. It's not good. Causes fights if you look with one eye. If you need, close both eyes, but don't leave one open, okay? So both open, both closed, not one open. So then, and then the mother element, that is like nourishing, taking care, you know, inspiring, doing all these different things, cultivating the particular kind of attachment, right? Does this make sense? You know, what flavor is the attachment? That's generated by the ladies, right? So then the mother generates that. So between mother and father, then, you know, that complete experience is there, okay? Then you have teacher. So one could say, well, teacher is a third thing. No, the teacher is actually technically the combination of both the mother and father, right? But not from the material platform, meaning that it's just based on the bodily relationship, but it's based on knowledge, right? In other words, the parents give you birth on the bodily platform. The teacher gives you birth into the spiritual platform. So both are giving birth, both are protecting, both are giving knowledge, direction, both are nurturing. This is very important to see. One doesn't see this, one's going to basically remain a fool for his lifetime. You know? And in this also, we make a distinction in teacher between someone who's giving us just a specific knowledge. You know, they're just teaching us mridanga or, you know, something like this. All they're doing is teaching you the subject matter, not a lifestyle. Right? Because your parents teach you their lifestyle, right? So the same way, the teacher teaches you lifestyle. Right? Like Prabhupada in the introduction, I think it's the Gita, he mentions that his father then trained him in, you know, proper life and worshiping Radha and Krishna and everything. These things which were the foundation that was later, you know, solidified and taken to another level by his spiritual master. Does that make sense? Like that. So then we have to understand this element of teacher. Then, you know, lower end is just teaching some kind of, you know, skill, some knowledge, some art, some science, some academics. Like that. But that's all. They're not teaching you actually how to live. Then there's those who are teaching you how to live. Right? So that's more. And then of those that teach you how to live, then we have one of them, you know, becomes the spiritual master. Does that make sense? So all of these are considered, all the gurus, varieties of gurus, are, you know, they're called guru, the spiritual master. So one has to be very, very careful in this and distinguish and understand that your dealings with what this means. So parents, you have to deal properly. But that's already going on. One's in the house, one's, you know, grown up with them and this and that. But due to attachment, there's only a certain amount that they can teach, right? Because one tends to not pay so much attention because of attachment. So that's the advantage of the teacher. One doesn't have that bodily connection. So then the interaction can be purely, you know, how you say? One can focus and one can take one further. Right? Does that make sense? So the mother and father means it's considered that the father is respectable, right? Because of, you know, he takes care, he protects and everything like this. The mother is considered 10 times more respectable than that because of so much, the debt, what you owe her. You know what I'm saying? The father is, of course, senior, but the debt that you owe her. Because she puts in so much more, right? Time and this and that, you know, when you're young and taking care and when you're sick and so many things, she puts in a lot more time and energy, okay? Now, If a teacher is just teaching you academics, he'll teach you that and go away. So therefore, the father is more respectable than that person, right? But at the same time, when you're studying under that teacher, you must be respectful. Otherwise, how will you learn? The process won't work. Now, if that teacher is giving you Krishna consciousness, you know, or teaching you that lifestyle, then they are more respectable than the parents. You understand? So you have to be able to make this distinction. This is called intelligence. Then things work. If one doesn't make these distinctions, it won't function, right? Like that. So one can never. In that way, in other words, is etiquette, right? So our basis of our etiquette is this shikshastakam, right? So it starts with humility, right? So if we're proud, very hard to have any relationship, right? Pride is not a basis of relationship. In fact, if there's pride, there's a good chance that your relationship is going to be compromised. And the greater the pride, the greater how much it'll be compromised. Right? Then there's tolerance. You have a question? No. Then there's tolerance. So that means one has to be able to accommodate and appreciate what's going on. Right? One doesn't get disturbed. So that means one has to control what one speaks, what one thinks, how one, you know, directs one's attention. This is the meaning of tolerance. Right? You know, eating, stomach, in this case, then, you know, with Upendra, then sense gratification. Right? So these six pushings, this is, you know, you have to tolerate. The one who tolerates the urges of the senses is Goswami. So tolerant means these things. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So that means that then right there is if one sits around, talks about the teacher, talks about your parents, all these kind of things, then what's going to be the position? How will it work? You know what I'm saying? In other words, if we have these doubts, if you have a question, you ask the teacher. You don't sit around with your friends and, you know, start making politics about them. You do that, then where's the relationship? Because they're the authority when it comes to dealing and all these different things. You have a question, like here, Upendra's ask Prabhupada. He asks him. You know? Or like you see, Prabhupada's in the kitchen. You know, and he's doing things, and then the girls say, no, but Prabhupada, today is, you know, Ekadasi, or today is this, or you're in the kitchen, you can't do that. They will ask him. They won't afterwards say, oh, you know, Prabhupada did this, Prabhupada did that. Is that, you know, is that actually spiritual? You know, does this? They don't do that. Have we seen that? No. So that means it's not done. Otherwise, Prabhupada wouldn't have introduced it. Yeah, he wants you to question. That's not a problem to have a doubt. Ask. But if you have a doubt and you make politics, you know, just gramikata, gossip, and this way, use it for your own political purpose. This is not, you know, the process. Right? And what makes one a human being? It's because one inquires. And you inquire from a teacher. Right? So if one is just gossiping and making politics about the teacher, that's not human. That's why it's a problem. Humans don't do it. Subhumans or non-humans do it. Right? One could say, no, but I got two arms and two legs and a head, I'm human. But it's considered that one is born an animal. Your parents give birth to an animal. Then this animal has to be trained to be human, right? In other words, a child born to human beings is an animal but has the potential to become a human being, right? But if they don't respect the parents and don't respect the teacher, they can't become human. Does this make sense? Yes, no? Like that. These are very important elements. You can't underestimate them. If you underestimate them, you won't know what the standard is. You don't know, then all your other relationships will be tainted. Right? Does that make sense? Because you learn, you know, basically from authority, which means guru. So that means parents and teachers. Right? Then from that, all the other relationships, you know, have a basis. So if that's not good, nothing else will be good. If you don't have good relationships with authority, you won't have good relationships with your friends. Don't worry. Your relationships with your friends are very shallow. You may think it's real, but it's not. Right? Does this make sense? Yes? No? Yes? Yes? What do you think? Yes. Okay. Okay. Any questions? No? Okay. Gradually, under Srila Prabhupada's pure influence, Upendra began to feel less agitated by sexual demands. He came to understand that he was not a material body, but a spirit soul. And the soul's eternal nature was to love Krishna. And that for a pure devotee, for Swamiji, love was for Krishna. More and more, Upendra just wanted to be the servant of Swamiji. He thought of what foods to buy for him and how to make things comfortable for him. It was in this mood of wanting to serve Swamiji that Upendra visited the psychedelic shop one day. Right, so he's always trying to find nice things for Prabhupada, do nice things. But you have to remember, the hippies. So he's looking in the psychedelic shop for something nice for Prabhupada. He had heard that they had recently received from prince from India. So he went in and browsed through the prince, picked out some pictures of Lord Krishna, and took them to Swamiji. Right? So this principle of trying to find out, this is what is inspiring, right? In other words, it's like here he is the servant. So he knows what's going on. So you can be just the servant where you're just told what to do, right? You're just told, okay, do this, then you do it. Then, okay, do that, and you do it. And so that someone who could do that and do it nicely, that's considered good. It's a good servant. But one has to remember is that servant is not very close. It's not very intimate. It's nice. They do, you're dependable, you're reliable. They say, okay, you know, clean the floor, cut the sabji, you know, boil the milk, clean the toilet, like this. And you do it, and you do it nice, then that's good. That's considered, you know, a good servant. It's nice. You're comfortable, but you don't get very close with them. Who are you close with? The person who uses their brains to understand what is it they want and then gets it done on their own. Did Prabhupada tell them to go to the shop and look for pictures? No, but he knows. Prabhupada has nice pictures on the wall of Krishna. And these kind of pictures, these Indian prints, the only place you can get them is in the psychedelic shops. So they get them every now and again. They get new shipments. So when they get a new shipment, he'll go and look and see if there's anything nice that Prabhupada would like. Understand? He used his brain. That servant becomes very special. Right? Otherwise, having to be told what to do every time and thinking that sharing, okay, you know, if I ask him what to do every time, even though I've been told what to do, but that relationship is just master-servant. There's no closeness, there's no friendship, there's no intimacy. Intimacy means you know what they want and you get it done. That means intelligence. You know what I'm saying? That's what human life is. That's what one is being trained, because then it's proactive. If you can do that with the teacher, then you can do that with, you know, husband, wife, children, friends, with anybody. Because you'll be proactive in the relationship to think how to please the other person. Otherwise, until they tell you, you don't know. And then they've told you once, but that doesn't matter. You'll wait, you know, next time for them to tell. Does this make sense? So you can see Upendra here, he's a good servant. When you think of Prabhupada's servants, then what comes to mind is Upendra, you know, one of the oldest, senior in there. You also hear Shruta Kirti, like that. That he was good in this way, of that, you know, being intimate and all that. So Upendra, you know, very much, very close like that. He would always be thinking how to make it work. But he would observe and he would do things at work. Does that make sense? You know, one becomes expert. Expert means one can do it nicely. Right? So we see Prabhupada trains someone in something like he trains the ladies in the cooking. Then they become expert. Then they can cook. Right? In the beginning they'll make mistakes, but after time they stop making mistakes. Right? So they become expert. So now, if someone's just expert, okay, cook this, and then they can cook it nicely, and that's nice. But if it's a matter of then they're expert, and they know, they have an idea of what is wanted, so then they can create that environment, then that's considered closer. Right? So you have levels of servants. Just like we said, there's levels of progressing attachment to love for Krishna. So there's levels also of servants here. What is that mood? How does one deal with authority? Yes? No? In Prabhupada's room, along with other devotees, Upendra unrolled the prints one by one on Prabhupada's desk, waiting to see Prabhupada's response. As Upendra watched, it seemed to him that Swamiji was looking at photos of his personal friend. He was pleased with the pictures. Hayagriva commented that the religious art of the Indian prince was a bit garish, but Prabhupada explained that the technique didn't matter. The important thing was that the pictures were of Krishna and were executed according to Vedic descriptions. For the devotee, they were beautiful. They were non-different from Krishna. Right? So he understands this, so he's gotten pictures of Krishna. Before, you remember in 26 Second Avenue, it was anything that was in Indian print. Right? So they didn't know who's who. They have Hanuman, they have this one, that one, anything that looks Indian, you know, and has Indian color, they hang it on the wall, right? You know, so here is that, no, but Prabhupada likes Krishna. So then he would look through those pictures and, you know, because he said there were so many pictures, and he'd pick ones out of Krishna. And so then Hayagrivas went, oh, it's a bit garish, you know, a bit loud, the colors and the strong and a bit too pronounced. But the point, but Prabhupada's point is it's about Krishna, therefore it doesn't matter. Right? So even in very finely executed piece of art, if it's not about Krishna, it's not really actually that special. Right? But it's about Krishna, then it reminds you of Krishna, and then everything's perfect. So something's perfection is its connection to Krishna. Yes? No? What do you think? Yes. Prabhupada selected as his favorite a picture of Lord Krishna standing and playing his flute in the moonlight, the river Yamuna flowing by. In this picture, Krishna was known as Govinda. Prabhupada held the picture up and quoted a verse. Smeram bangitraya parichitam sachi vishrina drishtam. You know the rest of it? Okay. Vamsi nyastadhara kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena. Oh, you've taught them this. Oh. They know it? Yeah? So let's hear the verse.
Smiram bhangi traya parichitam sadhi vistena drishtam vamsi nyastadhara kishalayam udvaram chandrakena govindakyam haritanumitam kayachityartopakante ma prekshita samayati sake bandhu sange stiranga.
Nice. Where's this from? It's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Oh, this is the one that says don't if yeah, it means if you really want to maintain your material desires, don't go down and see Krishna playing the flute. Otherwise you're materially you're finished. Okay, this is that verse. Wow. You're very fortunate to know that verse. On some of the ones is you can go up sometimes, you know, da da da. But you can also use a da da da. You know what I'm saying? And that's where you skip from the you go first level, you know, you're going sa de ga, like that, you know. But you go from sa immediately ga by touching ma. Sa ma ga, like that. You understand? Mm-hmm. That also is nice. Use that. Okay. He took out a sheet of paper and began writing. While the devotees watched him intently, listening to the scratching of the pen on the page. Then he read aloud, "My dear friend, if you still have an inclination to enjoy material life, society, friendship, and love, then please do not see the boy named Govinda, who is standing in a three-curved way, smiling and skillfully playing on his flute, his lips brightened by the full moonshine. Yamuna, can you write this nicely?" Prabhupada knew that Yamuna was a trained calligrapher. What's a calligrapher?
He knows the art of writing.
Yeah, yeah. It means they can write very nice handwriting, very special, like that. He asked her to print the verse and display it along with the picture by his sitting place in the temple. He wanted to be able to look at it during kirtans. Upendra thought and prayed, "If I can just fix myself steadily in serving Swamiji, who has such love for Krishna, then I too will become transcendental." He felt that since it was not possible for him to see Govinda the way Swamiji saw him, He should serve Swamiji, the pure devotee of Govinda, and in that way become pure. I just want to become Swamiji's dog, Upendra said as he left the apartment. So we can see, is at least in the explanation of what's been going on now, the relationships with the various devotees with Prabhupada, some have been, pretty, ordinary, not outstanding, and some have been, quite interactive and very nice and very pleasing to Prabhupada. So, but this is the first time, actually seems to be the first devotee that we see who really understands is just being attached to Prabhupada, being attached, that's your perfection. Right? You don't see that in anyone before this. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, it wasn't so much the technique, it wasn't so much, the spiritual, it wasn't so much, getting out of the material world, it wasn't all this kind. It was simply Prabhupada has this love for Krishna. He wants to develop that, so he doesn't have it, so he'll serve Prabhupada. So if he serves the person who has it, then everything becomes perfect. Does it get moved farther away?
Sorry?
Is it moved farther south than it was? You moved it farther east. South, east, north, west, northwest. See, if it's right here and it's going in someone's face, then it needs to move either, it needs to move south, if the wind's blowing, of course, north, right? So, but if you simply move it from its position in the south, and not move it more south, but only move it more east, then it simply means that it blows in someone else's face. So then one would want to move it either more south, or south and east. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you've solved one problem, but you'll generate another. So you want a complete solution. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it goes that way, then it goes out of the face, but you don't want to move it, you want to put it in such a place that it still blows in general to keep away the mosquitoes, but not that it's disturbing. See, that's why one has to use brain. One has to look at the meter. In New York, the boys had their orders from Prabhupada not to give any more money to Mr. Price. Now, here's a different thing, right here. Dependent just wants to do something nice for Prabhupada. So he's just taking care of what works at the apartment. He goes out, finds something nice. He's just, Prabhupada conscious, and he's trying to do it. These boys in New York are trying to do whatever is to be done, be right, but at the same time, there's so much the idea of their own ideas and all that. Prabhupada not to give any more money to Mr. Price unless there was a purchase contract. Prabhupada still wanted the building. He had written to Brahmananda on March 4th. I hope when I go to New York next, I shall enter the new house forthwith. And he had written Rai Rama on March 7th. I am very glad to learn that Brahmananda, yourself, and all others have the transcendental courage to take all the risk for Krishna. This act will enhance your glory in Krishna consciousness. But he wanted them not to be cheated by false promises. Right? In other words, they're doing something they're not used to. Right? They're just, boys from the street. And that now they're going out working with these businessmen, trying to work out contracts for big buildings and this and that. And so, it's a nice thing. They're working hard for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada is saying they're taking this risk. But don't be stupid. Don't be cheated. Meanwhile, Mr. Price was asking the devotees to turn over $5,000 to his financier friend, Mr. Hall, who would then add $20,000 and make the down payment to the owner, Mr. Tyler. Mr. Price wanted Brahmananda to get the point across to His Excellency that negotiations had to be done in this fashion and right away. They seriously wanted to get the house, right? He's saying, no, this is how it's done in America. Prabhupada says, no, that's not business, because America doesn't define business, you know, nor England, nor Krishna defines business. So without a contract, where's the business? Right? Because that's what business means, is a contract. So here he's saying is that there's no contract. And they're trying to say, oh, that they do that in India, but they don't do that here in America. You know, Swamiji has to understand it's different here. But all it is they're just cheating Brahmananda and the boys, because they have no idea. They're the ones that don't know. That's why they avoid Prabhupada and just deal with the boys, because the boys don't know. The Prabhupada does, so they try to avoid him. Brahmananda wrote to Prabhupada asking him to advise the bank to transfer 5,000 into the account controlled by the boys, the trustees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada gave permission and asked that the check be signed by the president and secretary, because Brahmananda and Satsarupa are the main support for purchasing this house, and Kirtanananda is a supplement to this from his kitchen department. But he said the check should be made to the seller, Mr. Tyler, not to the financier, Mr. Hall. The money and the society is yours, Prabhupada acknowledged. You can spend in any way, but it is my duty to give you advice as ever well-wisher. In other words, Prabhupada's created for the devotees to be involved. The society is here for everyone to be able to be involved in it and be able to render service. Right? So the senior members are simply there to advise others how to use it properly to serve Krishna. Right? So to get cheated is not a proper way to use the society for Krishna's service. That makes sense? So Prabhupada's advising how to avoid that. Yes? You know, like falling asleep or playing with the rocks, you know, all these things to be avoided. Yeah? Yes. Okay? Then Mr. Price invited Brahmananda to meet Mr. Hall. And he suggested that Brahmananda come prepared with a check for 5,000. On the way, Mr. Price explained that Mr. Hall was perhaps the biggest real estate dealer in Manhattan, a multi-millionaire. So why does he need 5,000? You know, like that. You know, so in other words, if he's a multi-millionaire, he just buys the place. And then the devotees pay him as they can. But he needs the devotees 5,000 rupees. You know, it doesn't add up. You know, they can say, well, we want to see if you're serious. No, they're serious. Like that. But it's a matter of there's a contract. He owned skyscrapers. Everything he owned was big. When Brahmananda entered Mr. Hall's office, he thought it was right out of a Hollywood movie. A conference room 10 times bigger than the Second Avenue Temple. And seated at the head of the large oval temple was Mr. Hall himself. The room was in semi-darkness, with a few spotlights on Mr. Hall, right? Who would set up an office like that? With a few, and who sat before a battery of telephones. Even as they began to discuss, Mr. Hall paused several times, picked up phones, and talking to persons in various places around the country. Like that. So we'll see then tomorrow what happens with all this.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Janita Gaura Premanandi.